Please turn with me to the Old Testament, to Psalm 16. Psalm 16. As you'll see, this is a messianic psalm. The psalm is quoted in the New Testament scriptures as mentioning the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a psalm of contemplation, which is the miktam of David. May we contemplate what this psalm says. Preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust. O my soul, Thou hast said unto the Lord, Thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to Thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord, of course you know this is the name, Jehovah, is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lions are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins, that is, my heart, the word for kidneys, the innermost being. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. I will not leave my soul in Sheol, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. This is the Word of God. As you see in verses 9 to 10, this psalm is prophetic of Christ's death and resurrection, where we read that Thou wilt not leave my soul in Sheol, neither wilt Thou suffer Thine Holy One to see corruption. It speaks both of His death, that He went to Sheol, He died and He went to the grave, but it speaks also of the resurrection because it says, Thou wilt not suffer Thine Holy One to see corruption. He died, but He did not corrupt. His body did not... It did not decompose. It did not decay. So the Lord preserved Christ's body for those hours, however many they were, the 3 days and the three nights. And then He raised Him from the dead, showing Him the path of life, not of death. And then He was able again to be restored, and in His God's presence was fullness of joy. But Psalm 16 is not only messianic, it's Christian. That is, it's didactic. It's didactic. It's for instruction, for our well-being. As Christ's hope for incorruption or no decomposition, and His resurrection was in God, His hope was in God, so our hope for preservation in corruption, we will, if we die, our bodies will decompose. David's body decomposed. That's why this has to be messianic. David's body decomposed, as Peter preaches in the book of Acts. We have to see that the Bible is messianic, is prophetic in nature, or else then this would be indicative that the Bible is speaking false. corporately, because David's body is in the grave and has decomposed. It's a wonderful realization that this is a heavenly book, that this book is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, the greater David. But it's for us to have hope in God that He will preserve our bodies, though they decompose. He will preserve them for the resurrection. And He will give us hope that though we die, yet we shall be with the Lord. A theme that I find in this book, in this psalm, is God, my need. This has been on my mind in various other expressions, feeling our need of God, practicing the presence of God, as you perhaps have seen books entitled like that. God, my need. I need Thee every hour. Is this a conviction of ours? I need the Lord. Is it just a doctrine that we agree with? In Thee we live and move and have our being. I want us to realize again tonight that God is our need. It's not what God does for us. It's God that is our need. He is our necessity, our life. We must crave for Him. We must pant after Him, as the psalmist said, as the deer panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after Thee. May we remind ourselves that God is our need and avail ourselves of Him in this wicked world and for hope in the world to come. He's glorified when His saints express their need of Him. May I say that the need of God is a fact? Look at verse 2b. We read, my goodness, and it's very difficult to understand what it's saying, honestly, in the English, my goodness extendeth not to thee. You perhaps have a parallel reading. My goodness is nothing apart from thee. That's a tremendous expression, isn't it? My goodness is nothing apart from thee. We can obviously see that our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, but the idea with my goodness is not apart from thee. Any goodness that I have is from thee. Any grace that anyone has, of course, is from the Lord. But anything good that man has is from God. It's a fact that man needs the Lord. God is my need. Acts 17, in Thee we live and move and have our being. Here were heathen poets that admitted this in their writings. I am nothing without God. Jesus Christ said it this way, without me ye can do nothing. But reverse that, I cannot without God, but I can with God. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. The evidence that man is in need of God, just ask man when death knocks on his door, when natural catastrophes come. We need the Lord. Natural revelation expresses that God exists. The Bible, special revelation, posits the presence and power of God. In the beginning, God. Those are the first words of the Bible. In the beginning, factor in God. But God was before the beginning, for He had no beginning. It's a fact, though we may not feel it. But oh, that we would feel that truth. Fact and feeling are not mutually inclusive. The fact remains, though man may never feel it, until he feels the presence of God at Judgment Day. Every individual is going to feel, sense the presence of God one day. But so many live without a sense of God's presence, of their need of Him. And I have to confess that there are Christians. Do we not confess at times we live as if God doesn't exist? Have you ever looked back upon a day in your life and could people have said that man lives in the sense of the presence of God? Think about the days that we spend. Can people tell that we sense the presence of God? If someone could follow us from morning till evening and we didn't know that they were following us, would they write, "That person breathes the presence of God"? They followed Daniel and they knew that he prayed three times to his God. He was one of the three presidents. If anyone could say, "I don't have time for prayer," it was Daniel. But three times a day, in his busy schedule, he sought his God. What an example Daniel is. You know, if you're practicing the presence of God and tragedy and challenges come, they'll be easier to face than to have to scramble when calamities come to seek the Lord. God is gracious and allows us to scramble to Him, doesn't He? But it's so much easier. And our brother, no doubt, can share that having walked with God when this news came, it was only grace. How else can you explain the peace that God has given you but that you have walked with God day by day? It's a fact that God we need. But I pray that it's a perception to us. You know, we can sense this every day. That is my burden, that we sense that God is our need. Not that we just agree with the fact when someone tells us or when we're being taught the doctrine of the existence and presence of God, but that we can say, as the psalmist did, notice he makes the fact, "My goodness is not apart from thee." And if we all are pressed in a corner, we all can say, "God is my need." But notice what he says, "O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not," or "is not apart from thee." Are you following me? He's perceiving it. It's not just a fact to him. He's feeling his need of the Lord. He's sensing God's presence. He's speaking to himself. Not schizophrenia here. There's, you know, do you speak to your own soul? Do you reflect upon your own soul? And, "O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord." David encouraged himself in the Lord his God when no one else encouraged him. He encouraged himself. We can't always lean on another person. There are times that the Lord allows us to go through the night seasons, as the psalmist mentions, and that it's just you and the Lord as He's testing us to wean off people. We can't always lean on people. We need the Lord. He's jealous that we love Him with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. He allows us to lack so it might be revealed that we need Him. You know, there are times that we're shown by various tests that we lack something. But it takes a test. It takes something very drastic. You're without oxygen. You can't breathe. You're without iron. You're without strength. You're weak. But you know, there's something strange. When we are distant from God, sometimes we can't perceive it. In our own coldness and worldliness at times. That we can live for days Can it be? You can't live for days without oxygen. You can't live for days without important chemicals or you get sick and it's obvious. But yet Jeremiah said, we have forgotten thee days without number. The Bible says of the nations, just those that forget God will be turned into hell. And yet as Christians, we can live in forgetfulness of God. So we thank Him for the night seasons. As the psalmist said, that the Lord counsels me, verse 7, He instructs me in the night seasons. He brings those seasons that we might be aware, look, we're living without reference to God. We're making our plans without reference to God. James says this, stop saying we'll do this and we'll do that, but if the Lord will, how many people live without reference to God? Ever. And yet we Christians can fall into that trap. We plan and we schedule and we go here and we go there. And do we reference God? So He brings the night seasons. Oh, He brings many day seasons, but He brings the night seasons. You know, why do we reach for food? Because we're hungry. Why do we reach for a drink? Because we're thirsty. Why do we reach for the pillow and head for our beds? Because we're tired. But I wonder, do we reach for the Scriptures because we're hungry and thirsty for God? Do we come to the church of God because we're desperate for God's presence and desperate for the fellowship of the saints? Or is it, if we confess, like dragging us and pulling our teeth to do what we know is necessary? We need to perceive God's presence. Thou hast said unto the Lord, my goodness is not apart from Thee. I need Thee. I feel my need of Thee. Lord, I perceive that the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. Don't depart from me. I need Thee, Lord. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee. God, my need. It's a fact, but I pray it'll be perceived by us. It's a perception. It can be a perception. And that's my burden for this church. Pray for me that I'll feel my need of God. When you feel your need of God, you'll read the Bible like never before. You'll pray as a thirsty man, as a hungry woman. You'll want to speak to souls about Christ because His presence will delight you so much that you'll love them and desire for them to experience the same. You know, God being our need will then become a delight. Verse 5, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. He went on to say, in thy presence is fullness of joy. God is the portion of mine inheritance. But look at Psalm 17:14. The men of the world are what? They have their portion in this life. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's why there's no delight in God. That's why the Bible isn't precious to them. Jesus Christ is just a name to take in vain to the men and women of the world. He's a delight to God's people. The necessary things can become a delight when we feel our need of them. The Bible says the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. Is sleep sweet to you? It is if you're a laboring person. Drink to a thirsty man is a delight. Food to a hungry person is a delight. God to a spiritual person is a delight. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He will give thee the desires of thine heart. I used to look at that in such a carnal way. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He'll give thee the desires of thine heart. What are my desires? All these carnal things? Delight thyself in the Lord. There's your delight, and He'll give you it. He'll give you Himself. Remember the promise in Isaiah 58 regarding the Lord's day? Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. If you take time for Him, if you prepare your heart, if you engage your heart, if you become serious about obedience. God, my delight, or God, my need will become a delight. I need Thee. Lord, there's none like unto Thee in all the earth. Who is a God like unto Thee? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonder. You're the portion of mine inheritance. You know, a good test for us is to read the division of the land in the Old Testament. Every other tribe but Levi. You ever read when it says of Levi, God was their inheritance? I have found at times my heart complaining. What if I was in the tribe of, would I have desired to be in the tribe of Levi? Where in essence he was saying, their delight is in me. They're to be the exemplary tribe. They're to show the other tribes, these are temporal things, the land and possessions and cattle. All of what the Levites had were given to them, entrusted to them. In essence, they weren't possessed by them. God was their inheritance. And I wonder how many of them complained, oh, I wish I was in Judah. Oh, how I wish I was in Asher. Oh, how I wish. It was a good test. They were to set the example. They were to be the earmark of a people that loved the Lord and delighted in Him. The backslider is filled with his own ways. But the believer, the spiritual one, is filled with God's ways. We find, fourthly, that God, my need, is a battleground. He said, I have set always the Lord before me. Notice a responsibility here. Sensing the presence of God is a responsibility on our behalf. I have set the Lord always before me, verse 8. You see the responsibility there? I have no one to blame but myself if I am not sensing the presence of God. I have no one to blame but myself if I don't feel my need of the Lord. Oh, there is that aspect. Let us all be challenged to set the Lord always before each other. It is my responsibility to set the Lord before you whenever I teach and preach. To lift up the Lord. But this is only two or three times a week. You and I have to live every day in the world, in our homes, spending hours in our workplaces. I have set the Lord always before me. James says, "You draw near to God, and He will draw near to you." This is not talking about the omnipresence of God. This is talking about the special fellowship presence of God. Notice the psalmist said, I have set the Lord always. Why would he say that? Because he has to do it over and over again. He has to exercise that responsibility over and over again. He faces the battle. You know what sin is? When we set wicked things before our eyes. There's a parallel here. The writer says, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes, but I will set the Lord always before me. And see, this world is full of sin. The devil wants us to be saturated in the world. When the Bible and God urges us to be saturated in His presence, we get cold hearts. And the only solution to a cold heart is setting the Lord before us. The psalmist gave the solution. When I mused, the fires then began to burn. Psalm 38. It's not until I started to think upon God that my cold heart was stirred. When we have a cold heart, it's evidence that we have not been musing on the Lord. He has not been set before us. I have a cold heart when I have a closed Bible. When I have unconfessed sin. When my prayer closet is closed, but I'm not in there. We have a responsibility to seek the Lord. Remember in the book of James, chapter 5, is anyone afflicted? Let him pray. What is it saying? If you're afflicted with calamity, this is God's draw near. Thank God for these times, because He says, look, feel my need of you. If any afflicted, let him pray. Is any merry? Is any happy? Let him sing. You know what He's saying? He's not saying if you're happy, you don't need God. The first thing, if you're afflicted, pray to God. Secondly, if you're happy, sing of God. It's still in every condition you're feeling your need of Him. And if is any sick that is sick unto death, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. And if he have any sins, he will be forgiven and the Lord will raise him up. In other words, the Lord is saying, use the means. He's the means. God is our need when we're afflicted, when we're happy, when we're sick. And the Lord brings these night seasons in our lives. And isn't it interesting? He brings day seasons. How often when we're happy, do we sing? What the point is, what are we happy about? I don't believe that James is talking about someone who's merry in the things of the world. I think he's talking about someone who's been blessed of God. Keep singing. Don't let the fire go out. Keep stoking the fire. Keep rejoicing in the Lord. It's a daily task, but it's a reciprocal task. Let us set the Lord always before us in our sermons, in our writings, in our dialogue. I have a responsibility to set the Lord before you. But may I say to you tonight, you have a responsibility to set the Lord before me. I need your dialogue. I need you to set the Lord before me as much as you need me to do so. I'm just a man of clay. I'm a man that's tempted with the things of the world and with a cold heart. I too can sometimes write backslidden over a Bible that's been closed and the dust has settled on it. We have a responsibility. It's a battleground. The last thing the devil wants is for us to feel our need of the Lord, to sense the presence of God, to walk with God on a daily basis. He's afraid of those kinds of Christians because he knows they do the most damage in his kingdom. He knows the Christians that sense the presence of God speak of God. Whatever is on our hearts is what we let loose on our lips. Isn't that a principle in the Bible? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So he speaks. So he reflects. Brother and sister, if God is in your heart, if God is on your mind, if you're saturated in the presence of God, you can't hide it. Just like if you're saturated with the things of the world, What does it say? They speak of the world because they are of the world. John said in his epistle. If you're full of the Lord, if you're filled with the Spirit, you'll have the love of Christ issuing from you. You'll have the fruit of the Spirit. If you set the Lord always before you, you'll evidence that in your life. And you'll be a blessing to others. You'll be iron sharpening iron. But if you're filled with the things of the world and you set wicked things before you, you're going to be a bane and not a blessing. You're going to hurt people with your tongue and with your testimony. And I guess I have to take this time again to say, be careful what we set before us, brothers and sisters. What are we listening to? What are we watching on television? What are we clicking? What internet sites are we clicking on? Are you setting wicked things before your eyes? You're going to be cold and unfriendly and unkind and unspiritual if you set these things before you. Be careful. Be careful about programs that you watch. Even, you know, I'll go into McDonald's and we have to be careful. Even Fox News. There's a woman there that is the anchor. She's got always a miniskirt on. And I say to myself, someone who's watching Fox News all the time, and especially that one woman, the camera continues to go there. Can that be innocent? Job said, I will, what was his words? And is it Job 40 or it's earlier than that? He said, I will not behold a maid. I know I make a covenant with my eyes that I will not behold a maid. That's his conviction. He's not going to commit adultery in his heart. If he doesn't commit it in his heart, he won't commit it in the act. The Lord says you can commit adultery with a person in your heart. We have to be careful, brothers and sisters. We let things in our lives that chill our hearts, drive out the Lord, because He's not going to stay there if that's what we're pondering, if that's what we're seeing. God leaves. He departs from it for a distance. Those are terrible words in the Minor Prophets where it says that I quote this so often I can't bring it to my lips now, but I will depart from them until they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction they will seek me earnestly. In other words, he came and he was shut out. Remember those words in Revelation? I stand at the door. Aren't they sad words? The door's closed to the Christian. That's a Christian in Revelation 3:20. I stand at the door and knock. There shouldn't be a door there closed. If any man hear my voice, do you hear? Do you hear me? Are you reading my word? Are you listening? And what happens when the door doesn't open? He pulls away. Draw near to God. He will draw near to you. It's a responsibility that you and I have. We are our brother's keeper here. We are responsible when we come to the house of God to come from the presence of God so we can be a help to each other, so we can encourage each other. I urge us, before we come to the house of God, to come from the presence of God so that we can help each other and reflect the Savior, be gracious and loving. See, this is a solution. My need for everything. This psalm says, God's presence is our preservation. Preserve me, O God, verse 1. Thou maintainest my lot, verse 5. He's the one that preserves us in His providence. If God lets loose things just derail. All he has to do is just pull away a little bit, and our lives will derail. The lines are falling unto me in pleasant places, His providence, His grace. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. He's the essence of my salvation. The Lord is my salvation, Psalm 27:1. He's my counsel. He gives me counsel, especially in the night seasons. In the dark times, He guides me. He gives me courage. I shall not be moved, He says. I shall not be moved. He gives me hope. My flesh shall rest in hope. That's me. When it comes time to die, God will be my hope for the resurrection, which is the theme actually of this portion at the end of 16. He's my joy. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And He's my eternal life. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Look at eternal life here. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. If there wasn't an afterlife, He could not say that. He would say there are pleasures here. But He's saying there are pleasures hereafter. See, God is my need for preservation, for providence, for grace, for counsel, for courage, for hope, for joy, forever. God is my need. That's a solution. Yet why is it that we reach for broken cisterns and take water that is polluted from this world? Whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside Thee. There is none like the Lord in all the universe. He made the universe. I love the description of heaven in Revelation, and they shall see His face. What is gold in heaven but what we walk on? What are pearly gates? When the pearl of great price is there. It is at thy right hand. It's in God's presence where we find pleasures forevermore. God, my need. God is my need. May we be conscious of God's presence every day, always. May we set the Lord always before us. It's a battle. The devil wants us to forget God. He wants us to be depressed. He wants us to set wicked things before our eyes and to set everything else before our eyes but the Lord. Let's not forget the Lord. I ask you to set the Lord before me. In our conversations, when you, brethren, teach or preach, set the Lord before us. Pray that every time that God's Word is open, that the Lord will be set before us. I shall not, therefore, and then be moved. The heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. Sense the presence of God. Walk with God, brothers and sisters. That's the solution for life and in life. Our Heavenly Father, we need Thee. Lord, not just every hour, every moment we need Thee. Lord, You hold our breath in Your hand. Provide our oxygen and the ability to breathe it. Oh Lord, everything is dependent on Thee, our souls, our bodies, all of our faculties are in Your hand. Lord, be the portion of our inheritance. Be the portion of our lives. Forgive our sins. We have forgotten Thee days without number. We live often without reference to Thee. How often, Lord, have we come to the house of God without the sense of God's presence? We have hurt one another and hindered one another. Oh God, I pray that this church would be a church that's filled with Your Spirit. Every individual filled with Your Spirit. Every home filled with the presence of God. That our church then would be a church saturated in God's presence. That wherever we go, that people would know that, as that woman of old said, there goes a man of God that frequents us. Oh Lord, may we be able, may people be able to say, that is a man of God. That is a woman of God. Please, Lord, please don't let us forget Thee. Thank Thee for remembering us. The Lord thinketh upon us. Lord, I pray that we would think upon Thee. Hear our prayers. Let us not be filled with our own ways. Lord, help us to set no wicked thing before our eyes. I will set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. We pray in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.